Jesse and Grace watching Stargate. They made a podcast that's on iTunes that you should rate. Nix is a super fan, Grace is pretty new. Kaylee the Thorgie will help them make it through. Bartender Nick is here to make them drinks. As they reference random pop culture-y things, crying out loud, they'll put a smile on your face. There's no place like Tara with Nix and Grace.
Welcome to episode 358 of There's No Place Like Tara, a Stargate first watch rewatch podcast. And it's technically the last time I can say it's a first watch rewatch podcast.
Whoa.
I'm Nixie.
And I am Grace. And today we are watching Stargate Universe.
Yep.
Season 2.
Yep.
Episode 20.
Uh huh.
Gauntlet.
Yeah.
AKA.
Uh huh.
Suboptimal.
That's so much better than my non-creative, the final one.
So my other one was not with a bang, but a whimper.
You know, that's very appropriate. That's very appropriate.
And, you know, and that's not a reflection of our podcast.
No.
Clearly.
No, we bang every episode.
We bang all the bangs. Just banging around over here.
We'll get to it, but Grace's reaction at the end of this episode is what I have been waiting for 40 episodes of Universe wait till you see how this ends.
I am grateful that I've had a little bit of time from when we watched when we record.
Yeah.
I did have a chance to make a little bit of peace with it.
Spoilers, she was angry.
Angie.
As we all were.
Not Angie.
And, you know, we also talked, and we'll talk about this as we continue, how the series ended, unfortunately, at least for me, colored the series as a whole.
I do want to get to that, because I will share a little spoiler that, as I did my notes, once I finished the episode, I immediately turned on season one, episode one.
Yeah, you did. Of Stargate.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so then
SG-1.
So when I did, that was when we did the watch.
Yep.
When I watched it again for our notes.
Yeah.
We always do a double watch in case people don't know. Here, you get a lot behind the scenes.
Yep.
We'll do a rewatch, watch rewatch together.
Yep.
Where we just kind of have gut reactions. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a separate rewatch watch.
Separately.
Where we take our notes.
Yeah.
And so when we did when I did my watch, I immediately went and found season one of Stargate.
Yeah.
The original Stargate and started that. When I did my notes this time.
Yeah.
I went back to season one of Universe.
Okay.
And immediately played, like, I didn't even let the credits finish playing until I went to it. So we'll get into that.
Oh, I'm very interested.
I'm so excited. Okay. Let's get to the good stuff, but quickly.
Yeah.
How was your week?
Again, yes. I will cover the exciting but stressful things in about, a month, so two episodes from now.
I mean, honestly, same. I feel like exciting but stressful.
Yes.
Sort of covers both our lives right now.
Yes. In actual exciting news, we watched Dune 2 yesterday. Yeah.
Speaking of an ending that did not disappoint.
That's ending that did not disappoint. Here's what I'll say. This is in no way spoilers to any way. We both loved it. Yes.
Yeah.
But we watched Dune the first, but right before, like, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever, to finish watching it.
Yeah, we did it the night before.
Almost right in time to leave for the theater. And we don't have, like, a horrible sound system in our house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy, but I'm watching this and I'm like, half of this film is missing from not having the full, like, RPX.
There's definitely an experience that you only get in the theater with this film.
Yes.
With
Dune in general.
It is. I will say that we watched it. We still got goosebumps.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it doesn't. Nothing compares to the theater.
That's what I'm saying. It's fantastic. And the audio design is still amazing even at home. But there is something different when we're watching Dune 2. we started noticing, because they have the little like emergency, they can't do total darkness in the theater. Yeah. They have those little emergency lights in the ceiling. Those were flickering from the base.
To where I went, is this a new feature? Yeah. Like, are lights part of the feature? And I was like, room's literally just vibrating.
The room is literally vibrating from the base of this movie.
Yeah.
It was
incredible.
Yes. That's the main thing that I think I have to share.
Yeah.
Because
It was fucking great times. I don't want to spend too March much time 9th. On anything. No, yes,
May
let's do 9th. It.
May 9th, 2011. This is the final of 74 episodes written by Joe Malozzi and Paul Molly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the final of 64 episodes directed by Andy Makita.
Yep.
I also, fun fact, according to the wiki, when this title translates in Czech to Throne Glove, and I find that fucking hilarious.
I guess that is what the gauntlet is.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So before we get into this episode, obviously this ends on not what you might consider a series finale note. They were obviously hoping for more seasons. I think they were hoping for 5 to equal Atlantis.
Yeah.
They really wanted to pay off more of what Destiny's actual mission is. And the series was actually canceled after they had finished filming, but while they were still editing and everything.
Mm.
So they didn't plan on this being the end of the series.
Yeah.
And then even after they had to sort of tie it up and edit, you know, I think there were some reshoots to sort of make this the more of an ending that they were thinking of. They were hoping to get like a big movie, like Brad Wright wanted a huge movie that tied in like all three series together.
Yeah, I would have taken a movie, and you know, considering the pattern of Stargate,
yeah,
I would have been like, give us one movie.
Yeah,
give us one.
Yeah. And no, that didn't happen. Yeah, no, I know. I just blanked on the production company. But they, or MGM was like just coming out of some bankruptcy issues and stuff like this. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they couldn't,
it sounds like they were a little bit collateral damage.
Yeah. They couldn't, because everything was filmed and because of how the story arcs happened, they couldn't have ended on epilogue, which would have been a better, not just because of the title, a better finale for the series. But I think everyone looking back agrees, like, it's just out of order, but that's the series finale.
I think, yeah, I get that. And I can see it from the creator's point of view. It's like, I know what they were trying to do, but they didn't quite have enough to get it there.
I think they tried to, with editing and in post, to like wrap up as much stuff as they could.
Yeah.
They polished what they were given.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's, I can see where when you're in a certain frame of mind and you see a certain ending in your head, how not going to that previous one would have been your choice.
Because it's essentially,
you just didn't quite have enough to get it there.
It's essentially ending the story in the middle of what they were planning.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, look, I get that you wanted to serve a lasagna.
Yeah.
But the pasta's just not cooked.
Yeah.
It would be interesting, and I know this won't happen, but with everything the way it is, it's like, what if we got like 12 years later? What if something happened and like the crew didn't wake up?
I know.
And what if we got this really cool, interesting ending? It'd be really fun if they did that. But now I'm starting to sound like a Stargate fanatic.
Welcome to our club.
Who just wants this thing won't happen.
Here's the beautiful thing is that because of how this series ended with everyone going into stasis, you could legitimately pick this series however many, because it wasn't the exact 3 years later and it wasn't they're floating for 1,000 years. They were just shy and they needed 20 extra, you know, 20 years floating in there or something like that.
Yeah.
What if all the actors are 20 years older And some people didn't make it.
What if Eli couldn't figure out how to get his pod working, but somehow figured out how to stay alive on the ship for 15 years?
Okay, that is actually when they're talking.
We should recap the actual episode.
We will. Remind me to do that later. Yeah. Because the powers that be, they've never specifically said what happened to Eli.
Yeah.
But they have, but I've heard various of their thoughts.
Yeah.
Possibilities. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we start, sadly, the episode on a slight bummer. We're starting on a low note. We're really hoping that Park's vision has returned. She was looking forward to doing some of that boring data and really hoping for good news because she's been seeing like flashes of lights. She's
so hopeful, and that's, I think, what makes it so much harder.
Yeah. Greer's with her as well because that is just, again, on this ship, they are, to me, I think, the healthiest and most adorable relationship that exists.
There's definitely some codependence there, but I will give it to them on this ship.
Yeah.
Like Greer's like a little bit on that codependent edge.
Yeah.
And this is as like, and this is me going game recognized game.
Yeah.
But I think you're absolutely right. They're the most, like, these kids are going to make it.
They're
even
not
off world.
They're
yeah.
not Scott and Chloe.
Yeah, that's just a fucking train wreck. That's a relationship you go home after dinner from having dinner with that couple. You go, at least we're not them. I love you, never leave me.
And they're not.
They're crazy.
And they're not like whatever weird triangle that TJ, Young, and Varro is.
Yeah. God. Yeah.
I'm like, Varro, maybe you should go talk to James more because I'm going to tell you that that's
you
probably going to be.
Go.
You should. You're fine.
Sometimes holding on to things hurts us more than it helps us.
Yeah. sadly, no. Even with the pen light, Park doesn't have any vision at all returning. And we are all devastated with her as she collapses into tears into TJ. And Young is just there watching.
I'm here too. I like to be hopeful and think that her body's just not done healing yet. I'm in the TJ world of like, her body's got to do it. It's got to regrow them cornea cells.
Yeah, because that, here's my side is more, you haven't completely unlocked everything in the Destiny database.
Yeah.
And so maybe my thought is that because she doesn't necessarily get full vision back, but maybe we can like, do some Geordi LaForge action here.
I mean, I'd be good with that too. I like to think of it like when you burn a taste bud.
Yeah.
She just hasn't grown it back yet.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if corneas do that.
I don't think that's how science works, but that's what I've
but
decided.
They're on Destiny
happen.
And there's magic on
Let
that
me
ship.
Be clear. I don't think that's how science works, but that's what I've decided will happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like when my brother was little and we accidentally. One of our baby chicks died, and so he put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Because Band-Aids fix everything.
Band-Aid fix everything. Mm-hmm. So, Young, that's when you just replace that chick with a different chick?
Yeah.
And look, ta-da! The Band-Aid worked!
Yeah.
So, Young walked in to see the end of the outcome. He's walking out. He is as mentally and physically exhausted as I am, and I feel him in this whole episode.
Yeah, that's absolutely understandable.
I feel that in a guttural
place. He's like,
place.
Please can I have like fucking 5 minutes to myself?
So he's wanting to go rest, but Ray is like, hey, I want to ask you something, but you look terrible.
Thanks. Yeah.
So I'll wait.
But then Rush.
But Rush won't because it's Rush and everything revolves around Rush.
Uh-huh.
And
I've been there. I feel like I've been there with our director.
Yeah.
Where I'll be like, I'm going to give you 5 minutes because you're don't seem okay. But then 7 other people go into his office. I was like, well, I should have just fucking come in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because now it's going to take 3 hours to get back to me.
Yeah.
And he heads Young so he doesn't ignore Rush and goes to join him in the control room when asked. And, you know, we're all tired of life and of Rush.
Yeah. Here we go. We're doing the things.
So both Ray and Young head to the control room. Eli's there. They did it.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. What?
It.
They actually found a way to track the command ships by finding and isolating their secret subspace code line message sending. They basically cracked the Enigma code.
Yep, there we go. Whew.
So in theory, they can see where all the command ships are.
Yep.
They can find safe planets. They can avoid the ships. It's all good and safe, right?
We can track everything they're doing.
Well, they could find safe planets, but they're fucking everywhere.
It's that, like, ignorance is bliss moment.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, now we know exactly where they are. Yeah. And we know that they're exactly everywhere we don't want them to be.
Everywhere they pull up.
It's that same threshold that I live at regarding, location services?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, there's no lack of trust amongst me or any of my friends or my spouse. But it's like, but then also you know exactly where they are all the time. And then it's like, do you always want all that information? What if at some point that burns you?
This is why I only look when I need to.
Yeah, that's the smart way to do it. It's my sister. I have this conversation with my sister all the time because she has 4 adult children.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I track them. And I'm like, but don't you ever just not want to know? And she's like, yes, but I need to know.
Well, I, for example, yesterday I used it because I was like, oh, we should probably leave to the theater. I know that they like getting there later. So I don't know if they've left. No, they're already on their way. We should go.
Yeah. That was our mistiming of like, it's going to take us, what, half an hour to go to Target?
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'm in Target fast mode. It took me 10 minutes to get out of there. Target fast.
So they pull up a holographic map. You know, when you overlay the path that Destiny is supposed to take and where the gates are laid out for them by the seed ships, there is a command ship at every single one of them, as far as sensors can see.
Yeah.
So while Eli says they're screwed, it's because they're on Sci-Fi Channel. They're actually fucked.
Mm-hmm. They're boned. Little credits.
So Young and Rush Freaky Friday back to Earth, and comically enough, Rush is the one in uniform.
Yeah.
They're there to speak with Telford. Seriously, I know you didn't know that this was the series finale, but like, had you known this was the series finale, you would get Jack, right? Like, you would have RDA on the finale,
right? I think you would at least try.
Yeah.
Or you would at least reference him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, listen, for the final episode of Stargate, RDA would come back for a day of filming.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him, get me out by lunchtime and I'll come.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they didn't know it's the finale, so we have Telford instead of Jack.
Yeah.
So they update Telford on everything we've just heard. They're figured out and studied enough that they know the drones know all the stars they'd need to refuel at.
Yeah.
And all the planets that they would need supplies at. And they can't just, like, go off path.
Yeah.
It's not an option.
I love that at the end. Well, yeah, we'll get to it. But basically, at the end of this conversation, Telford tells the team what they've always wanted to hear and what they did not want to hear this moment.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm. Because remember when we talked about the Drake equation, like, how many years ago? Because this podcast has been going on longer than we ever 7, anticipated.
7,000 years, yeah.
You know, there's a set amount of stars that have planets, and it's a small amount, and there's a small amount of those planets that could support life. And so it's so tiny, those seed ships have done all the work on finding the planets that we can go to.
Yeah.
You can't just, they found all the needles in the haystack.
Yep.
And at that moment, Destiny has enough food and water for a month. And they're set on power for now because they just refueled. Mm-hmm. And this is when they could really use a supply line from home. But Langara is like super not willing to help.
Remember that time we lied?
We were fucking assholes to them.
That time we failed our diplomacy check so hard.
And we basically tried to trick them and force them. And that was really bad. And Woolsey was like, hey guys, this is not going to help us in the long run. And we ignored him. And then
it's happening
now. Fucked that whole situation up. Yeah. That's why Destiny's on its own.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We're here now.
You burnt your own bridge.
Yeah, remember that bridge you burned a while back? That's the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
For your resupplies? Is gone now. You burned it.
So Chloe's going around taking a turn. I'm really sorry if I just smacked my lips really loudly into the mic.
Bartender Nick made us a final episode.
And it is as blue as a blue kamoosh. It's just tart enough that I had to like...
Yeah.
my lips. It's delicious though. Chloe's going around taking inventory because that's what Chloe does.
Apparently, like that's what she does now.
I feel like that's what she just always did.
Yeah, it's fair.
Do you need someone to just go around and collect shit?
Yeah.
That's what Chloe's here for. Also an FTL jumps now because she has that smarty pants gene.
Yeah, she's got two very specific gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's checking in with TJ and TJ's like, look, for the moment, this is really weird to say, we're doing fine.
I feel like I understand where TJ is. TJ is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, she hasn't given up, but you're sort of resigned.
You're settled in.
You're resigned to what life has become. And there's this certain like dry glibness that you're like, I guess we're dying now.
We're fine. Like all things considered, we're well stocked as we're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, we're clearly not fine, but we're fine. What the fuck else are we going to do?
We're fine given situations. Mm-hmm. We just stopped and raided that pharmacy at that last planet.
I could never not. Yeah. I completely understand how.
I'm not having to wash bandages.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're fine.
Yeah. This is good.
And for some reason, Chloe's like, well, I heard about Park. And I just want you to know, it's not your fault. You just don't have the right equipment and stuff. And we're like, Chloe,
excuse me.
Who on the fucking ship was saying that this is TJ's fault?
Even TJ, like, Chloe's trying to psychotherapize TJ in a way that TJ's like, nah, bro. No. I know this isn't my fault. I just hate it here.
Like, it was kind of the massive sun burning her corneas with UV radiation. Like, you don't just fix that.
Yeah. That's just what it is.
It was the sun's fault, not mine.
Yep.
I didn't do this.
Well, and again, Chloe's trying to come at TJ from an angle that maybe is what Chloe would need. It's like it's like if I came at you at the type of conversation I would need versus the conversation you need.
Yeah,
or if you came at the conversation you need, not the one I need.
We need very different conversations.
Yeah, and TJ's going like, nah, bro, this ain't it.
I appreciate, but like... take that elsewhere.
Yeah, this isn't the place for this.
And then she continues that sometimes things just seem unfair, but you just play the hand that you're dealt.
Yeah, this is where Chloe finally gets it.
Also, my quick typing says you play the hand that you're dealt with death in the middle of that.
Yeah.
That's not fine.
That's normal. That's normal.
Totally and fine. And yeah, clearly we are not talking about Park anymore.
No, no.
This and is
Chloe goes, yeah, you're dying. I forgot about that.
And she, you know, TJ starts explaining what she's going to go through in a way that is clear that she has been replaying this in your head multiple times on repeat for a while, and she's just been living with it without sharing it, just all internal in there.
This is I love this moment. This is one of those great moments where. This is a lesson, right? And this is a lesson I learned. Sometimes there isn't a silver lining, and sometimes people don't want to hear a silver lining.
Yeah.
Sometimes people want to just hear, hey, this sucks.
Yes.
I'm sorry that this sucks for you, but I'm here if you want it to not suck alone. And I think that's what Chloe is sort of learning here.
Yeah. And the way that I've always looked at it is... Not silver linings in the traditional, like, oh, there's going to be a bright side of this. But, like, to me, it's just what the silver lining in the different situations look like.
Yeah.
So, in some cases, the silver lining is just the fact that, hey, you have someone who you can go and just vent to about the situation.
Yeah.
And you know that that person or that situation exists.
Yeah.
And so it's like you've discovered, regardless of how shitty something is, there is something, no matter how small, positive that comes out of it, even
See,
if
that's
it's
the thing though, right? Sometimes you just don't want to hear that part.
But so, and that's why I was like, that's the difference between the two sides.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to hear about any of the, sometimes you're like, no, I'm in the suck.
Yeah.
Come be in the suck with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just need someone to sit in this mud with me.
And see, and I look at that as going, the positive is that you have someone who can come sit in the suck with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That is your optimism.
Yeah.
That is you and me in like the broadest term that
exactly.
we can ever put in.
It really
the
is.
The most broadest is
yeah.
our Wednesday Adam to her like cheerful best friend.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, you know what? In the worst of everything, I'm not sitting in the suck alone. That's my silver
and I'm
lining.
Like, no, it sucks here. We all suck. I said we're sucking today.
And I'm like, yes, Grace, we're sucking today.
Together.
And then secretly I'm like, ha ha ha, we're sucking together. Yeah. I'm not sucking alone.
You know, today we're banging, we're sucking. We're doing all the good things. This is why we stopped drinking on the pod. Just wanted to throw that out there.
But we're here.
Go out?
We're here, man.
Anyway, science bros.
Yeah, so Young and Rush are back on Destiny, and Rush is updating the rest of the science crew. They are completely on their own. Earth can't do shit for them.
Uh-huh.
They can't run. Mm-hmm. They can't hide. So Rush is like, so we should fight. Uh-huh. And just fight as much as they need to resupply when we need to. I mean, I'm like... You've taken out a single control ship so far, and you didn't do it on your own.
He is a wily man who's learned whatever it takes to survive is what he'll do.
Rush is definitely someone who you're like, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? Like, it depends on the situation as to which, because the you're sounding real optimistic that you can just take out control ships when you want
to. Yeah, look at you. I think it's more of like, that's his survival instinct kicking in. It's like, there's always something I can try.
Yes. Yeah. So the bonuses.
Yeah.
The control ships don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that we know where they are.
That's right.
Surprise. Mm-hmm. Smoke bomb.
So is this where they explain about skipping, or does that happen later?
That happens later.
Okay.
So it's super risky, like crazy sun refueling plan risky. Mm-hmm. If it works, it works. What? They can do it maybe twice? Like, they're going to know all of a sudden now, surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise only works a couple times if you're lucky.
But of course, Rush has a plan because Rush, I would say Rush always has a plan, but he clearly doesn't at the end of this episode. And then we get the plan explained. Plot drama. So
yeah,
they want to fine tune the shields. So in battle, normally the shields are cycling through all of these different frequencies. Mm. And they're basically hoping that it's going to match the frequency of the incoming energy attacks.
That makes sense, yeah.
And so the closer the shields are to matching the frequency of the energy weapon as it comes in, the more the shields will absorb the energy weapon.
Yeah.
And the less it matches, the more will come through. Shields 101. Mm-hmm. As Volker helps out, it's like rock, paper, scissors.
Sure, yeah. You're just hoping that you put up the right...
Yes.
Yeah.
So they know the energy signature of their drones because Eli insisted on bringing one aboard that time. Go, Eli. So instead of Destiny constantly rotating the shields, they're going to get the shields to hold on paper.
Yeah, set it to paper.
Because they know the drones throw rock every single time.
Yep, yeah.
So... They're continuing the Boulder Parchment Shears analogy way too far, but the catch is, if we lock it in, and all of a sudden they throw a different energy at Destiny, it's like having no shields.
But that will never be a problem, ever,
it's
ever,
fine.
Ever, ever.
But Rush knows they're not wrong.
On an unrelated note,
yes.
I don't know why, but the seams of Rush's vest seem mm-hmm. very different to me today. They always seem slightly simpler. I'm sure it was the same fucking vest. But here's my headcanon.
Yeah.
When they went to Pittsburgh Planet, he got a new vest.
He may have.
Yeah.
Yeah, he may have.
Yeah.
Or
like remended his.
That's actually what I was thinking. To me, in my head, I have a hunch that Rush is someone, he's never going to like sew his own garment, mm-hmm. but Rush is someone who's had to mend his own shit.
Yeah, I think
because it's a very limited wardrobe.
Hips, yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
they got some needle and thread.
Sort of related, because apparently I was obsessed with wardrobe on my notes rewatch. How early in this trip do you think Eli lost his hoodie strings? Did he lose them before getting on the ship? Did he use them to tie something together on the ship?
I think he used them to tie something together on the ship. You know what? Okay, I could be completely misremembering.
Uh-huh.
I thought he used his hoodie string when Chloe was shot.
Oh, to tie her leg?
To tie up her leg.
I think he might have.
But I could be very wrong, mm-hmm. but I thought maybe he may have used it there.
Yeah, that's very possible.
That seems like a thing. But also, he seems like a fidgeter person like me,
uh-huh.
who could have lost him at any point
that's
because he's just
like
pulled
them out. Without them? It's like, oh, those were gone a long time ago.
Yeah, what's the purpose of them?
Yeah.
So they're doing this.
Yeah.
Because we have so many plot points that we have to cover in this episode, we just have to get to it. This is like one of a couple things where it's like, we're going to go through this so quickly because we have too much to cover in a single episode.
Yeah.
Greer is ready to fire at anything that flies at them.
Uh-huh.
Rush and Eli are in the control room. They're overriding the shields to be locked on the drone-specific energy range.
Yep.
Don't fear. Chloe calculated the FTL jump because math girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal here is for her to calculate a jump that will land directly next to, but not on top of, the control ship, pretty close to it, because the element of surprise. And Volker's like, it's like hitting a dime with a bullet from 1,000 yards away. And I want Greer to just turn around at them and have that face like, what, it's hard?
Yeah, I do that every day.
It's like, please, sniper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chloe gets them close, all right?
Yeah.
Like, about to crash into it close.
It's like fender bender close.
Yeah.
It's like when I was learning to drive and backed up into a parked car close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're diving and they're weaving while the drones are pouring out at them. And positive thing, shield tweak is working. So mm-hmm. they can ignore the drones, concentrate on the command ship. It takes a few long dives around for Greer to get a couple good shots at the mothership, but then there's a different problem.
Yeah.
It's like the shields are suddenly down.
Yep.
They're getting hit by these drones all over, and they realize it's because the drones have realized
that... The drones are vindictive little assholes.
Oh, they're like fucking annoying mosquitoes.
One of the things I wish we'd been able to get to, again, if the story was able to
keep
itself, is like, We sort of just give up on the finding out what caused the drones.
Uh-huh.
I really hope it was us. Yeah. I really hope we fucked ourselves.
Oh, this is some Skynet
like,
shit.
Like, this is, well, yeah. It's like, I really hope that we did this. It was just us fucking ourselves.
Yeah. No, this is, I got the feel, and I really want to think this is straight up Skynet shit from our ancestors, our descendants.
Yep. We made this.
Anyways, the drones have figured out that their weapons aren't making through their shields, so they just, because there's no one, they just start dive bombing.
Yeah.
It's fucking Borg. They're just dive bombing and ramming the drones right into Destiny, going through the shields, because shields do nothing against them.
Uh-huh.
So now systems are going down all over, Greer's losing guns. They just need to get aim one more time on the command ship. It's a very dramatic moment.
Yep.
It's like two tall ships out in the ocean in Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
Yeah.
Trying to get their cannons lined up.
It's a lot of fun, shooty things.
Yeah, eventually they succeed in blowing up the command ship. All the drones just shut off. And now that that's done, quick, as fast as you can, go get supplies.
Yep, get out of here. Yeah.
The shuttles are back. And honestly, it was barely worth the effort.
Yeah.
They got barely anything.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm confused. Did they go to the planet? They went in shuttles?
I tried to figure that out, too. And
I was not sure.
Let's just not pay enough attention.
They don't
Basically,
care.
Basically, it's diminishing returns.
It is.
What we're learning is that we're having diminishing returns.
Yeah. Young still hasn't gotten to sleep.
Uh-huh.
I know this exact feel.
Yeah.
Eli tries to talk to him, and actually, he does have this crazy idea, and it would involve Young getting more sleep.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Unless Eli has some other genius idea that's going to solve other problems, and he's like, I do, but you're not going to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, well, that goes without saying. Mm-hmm. Another day, another galaxy, mm-hmm. and Young is confused. So this is one of 1,000 galaxies in Destiny's Past, which honestly, that's more than I fucking thought, but that's sure.
So many, yeah.
And this galaxy sucks donkey balls.
Yeah.
And the next one might not suck as much.
Yep.
So let's just skip the rest of this galaxy.
See, I don't know why my brain thought it was a loop. It was like when you're chasing your dog in a circle and then yeah. you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought we were doing. Oh, but yeah. We're jumping into the next one.
We're going to skip. We're just going to jump through the rest of this galaxy, skip over the space between galaxies, and then show up in a fresh, brand new galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, because your problems don't follow you wherever you go.
No. And the part...
That's what life teaches you.
And the part that Young is not going to like is going to take 3 years to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even halfway through this galaxy, and there's a massive gap to the next. And if we did take a bunch of damage and got some power issues from that last battle that we probably shouldn't have had to deal with because we got nothing from it.
Yep.
So normally it wouldn't take them 3 years. But now it will give or take.
Because we did that to ourselves.
And Young's like, yeah, but remember the part that we barely have enough food and water for a month? That's not as long as 3 years.
No, that's definitely not the same as 3 years.
That's like 1/36th
yep.
of what we need.
Yeah.
That quick math I did.
I'm proud of you.
And Eli's like, yeah, but that's the genius part.
We just don't eat.
Chekhov's stasis chambers. I do think when you first saw all these, I do think you made a comment at one point of like, we're all going to stasis chambers,
those
aren't
are
we?
Those are coming back. I think I said something like, those are coming back. Yeah, yeah.
Rush already looks grumpy.
Yeah.
Nothing new. Eli explains the stasis chambers to Young since they found these original ones, they found a whole bunch more of them.
Yeah.
And it just should, coincidentally, be almost the exact number they need for all the crew.
Bum-ba-da-da.
And also because of the research, air quotes, that Eli and Brody did.
That's a great way to spin that. That's like resume building shit right there. Yeah.
Research. They know they work.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli keeps repeating, 3 years, give or take. And
just
Rush,
don't say the give or take part.
Almost immediately takes the joy out of pointing out that the jump will take every ounce of power they have. And if calculations are the tiniest bit off, Eli's like, they're not. Mm-hmm. And if we fall short by even a fraction, a 1/10%, he's we like, won't. We won't.
Yeah.
Then we will drift the rest of the way. And 3 years will instead be 1,000 or more. And, well, Eli didn't mention that part because he ran the numbers and this could work, but they have to do it soon because power is draining and they can't risk going and fueling back up in another star right now.
We can't think about this idea for too long. No. And also, we have no other ideas.
Yeah.
So let's not think about it too long.
Rush is not for this plan. Too many things can go wrong.
Uh-huh.
They need to find another way.
Then do that.
But Eli can get the pods ready in a day. So that means Rush has a day to come up with a better plan. Yeah. And Young just leaves.
Yep.
Sleep.
I guess I'm napping forever now. Yeah.
He explains this insanity to Rey.
Yeah.
And she's having about as much time getting over the 3 years part as I'm sure everyone will.
Sure, yeah.
It's not just the time. It's also sitting in those pods for so long.
My hope is that, look, it's not like you'll feel it.
No, you're not going to even dream.
You're just going to be flash frozen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like fish.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do this, everyone should at least get one more chance to visit home. But it has to be quick because power issues and timing issues. Yeah. Everything has to be quick. I mean, you're talking about what? You're going to start doing this in a day. And there's what? Like, I thought wasn't like 150 or something people on the ship?
You're going to give everybody an hour? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's two freaking stones.
Yeah.
No, you're letting like 5 people go off world.
Yeah. So Rush is in his thinking hallway.
Mm-hmm.
With all the math.
Yep.
Thinking of anything.
He's doing furious math, as I like to call it.
He is.
Yeah.
Mad math.
Mm-hmm.
To not do Eli's plan.
Yeah.
Not sure if he thinks there might be a better plan or just not wanting to trust Eli's plan.
Yeah, I think he's just like, there has to be something better than this out there.
It's not going well and he's not taking it well. And mm-hmm. Chloe finds him there checking in on what the definition of grumpy is. She's like, look, I, math girl, have been over Eli's numbers. It's a slim margin for error, but the numbers check out. And we get the real reason why Rush is annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's not his plan, although that's definitely part of it. It's that they're going to lose 3 years.
Yeah.
And that destiny is on this path for a reason. And the one time they strayed from that, bad shit happens. And skipping part of this path might be just as bad. That they're going to, if they're going to try to solve this mystery, what if a missing piece that's important is in that 3 year path?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but you just don't have a choice.
But there's my thing is also like, dude, this path is like millions of years.
Yeah.
So you're skipping like a fraction of a fraction of 1% of Destiny's
you
path.
You have to read the Cliff Notes, my man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's sure there's another way to deal with the drones. He just needs more time.
Yeah.
But they don't have it, Chloe reminds him.
I do like the very Buddhist approach that she's like, I mean, we probably will miss something. Yeah. But at least we'll still exist.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we could sleep too long. We could never see our loved ones again. So we could never wake up. But Destiny's going to keep going either way.
Something will continue.
And if they stay in there, get the asses kicked by drones, then Destiny's dead. And that would be the tragedy.
Yes.
Like, the part of all of this is keeping Destiny around.
Yeah, it can't be us, these particular humans that survive. It's the idea of Destiny that has to survive.
Which is what you've been saying this entire fucking series.
Suddenly, suddenly you're forgetting this part.
Which is why I think there's a little bit of it wasn't my plan in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And without any more plot, we just start putting people in pods.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's the ones we really don't know except for Varro.
Yeah, the poor Varro, always getting the short end of the stick.
He's in the first group. TJ will be watching over everyone, but mostly, let's be honest, Varro, at least until she goes to sleep herself. Yeah. They'll see each other soon. They should have just made out.
Yeah. I think he's realizing that it's kind of over. Whatever that was. And then I think he started to find like, oh, right, James exists. After that meeting in Pittsburgh, I think he's like, oh, you know what? I was kind of over it.
I think he's more realizing, he's like, that's a stickier situation than I want to be a part of.
There's a lot of drama there. Yeah.
I don't need that baggage.
It's like, I don't need that baggage. And at the same time, there's some option.
Yeah.
There's an option that doesn't involve. It's kind of like when your only option involves baggage, you're like, I can make a little bit of baggage work. And then you're like, well, actually, the no baggage option
is really nice.
Especially when I'm not as committed to either one.
Look, still, this is not a like, we can't be friends.
Right, right, right.
Super good friends. Super
it's
help
not like
each other
they've
out.
They've been dating for a while and suddenly there's baggage. You know what I mean? No. This is like, well, neither of these have really gone off the ground.
Trusted colleague over here. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All day, every
but
day.
But like, you got some shit going on that you need to figure out.
Yeah.
Before I'm
so
in that mix.
Why don't I go be friends over there with her while you figure out your life?
Why not go be friends with benefits?
Have a nice life.
Over here.
Yeah.
So Eli's at home visiting mom.
Yeah.
Who takes a second to realize who it is. He's like, look, I don't have that much time, just enough time to say goodbye. Which, Eli, that is not how you lead that conversation with your mother.
Yeah. It was a lot to try to stick into the last episode, though.
It was.
Honestly, just don't even send them home.
Well, I'm like, but with you start with, hey, mom, everything is fine.
Yeah.
But we may have a couple years till we can talk home again.
I'm dying, mom. Bye. I love you. I'll never see you again.
You don't say goodbye. You're like, hey, I may not be able to reach out for a couple years.
Yeah, I'll see you on the other side of the jump.
Yeah. He explains everything because she gets in on the whole story and doesn't need the cover story anymore.
Yeah.
Mostly, he's just, you know, explaining everything, you know, questioning everything, like if he had made different choices in his life, like his mom wouldn't be alone. And his mom's like, first of all, you're my kid. So at some point you had to leave the nest.
Yeah.
I'm not like alone. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have seen all the amazing shit that you've seen.
Yeah.
Look at all you've done. You didn't abandon me. You grew up into an adult.
We take 10 minutes of an already jam-packed episode to have his mom say, I'm better now. Go do life things.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I love that Eli has this relationship with his mom. We didn't fucking need it.
Well, I will say, I actually did appreciate this scene.
Okay.
Because I think this scene goes and helps explain Eli's decisions in the final scenes.
Yeah, it's fair. It all leads up to that. Yes, that's true. I just think we spent too much time here.
Could it have been a little bit shorter? Yeah. Did we need the introduction on the porch? No.
They could have even treated it the way they did Ray's, where it's like, yeah, I went and I talked to my mom, and now my mom sees me for who I am, and it felt really good.
But I think because this was such an issue with Eli in the beginning of the series, and him fearing his mother being alone and fearing she, you know, I am who she lives for. What is going to happen to her when I'm gone? This could have benefited happening earlier in the season, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
But I think before this series ended, having this moment where his mom's like, no, I just need to know that you're happy. And like, that's the important part.
Sure.
Because I don't need you.
Yeah, go. I'm ready to be my own person.
I need you to be happy.
Attached to each other.
I don't need you to be here.
Yeah.
And she's like, see, I just need to know that you're happy.
We already had that. You know, like, it'd been clear that she'd been getting help. This had been sort of resolved before in the previous episodes. Like, this didn't, I don't know, it felt kind of...
Which is why I don't know if we needed it in this long... We needed it in some way, I think.
You know, like when you run out of ideas in a presentation and so you go back to something you've already talked about? I think it's because it's one of my pet peeves to retract shit that's already been covered.
Yeah.
It's like, we've already covered this part.
I think it could have been better. Do you remember the episode Letters from Atlantis where you got all of the snippets of people's messages back home? I think that would have been more effective.
Yes.
And because then you saw a little bit of Ray's conversation with her wife, and you get a few of those, and they're because people don't have time to travel. They're over FaceTime.
Right. That would make a lot more sense.
And then you could have a couple of these lines where all you have to say is, I just need to know that you're happy. And he goes, in spite of everything I am, which is all that moms want to hear.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I said, I think having this note hit to me was important. I don't think it had to be displayed in this way or taken this much time.
Yeah.
Because it would have been nice for a few other places, for a few other people to reach out as well. Like, partly fucking, we'll get to it later, but Scott has enough time to, like, drive to his baby mama's house.
Spy and judge.
Okay, we'll get to that later. So Brody is working on status chambers, Volker's on the bridge, and there might be a problem.
Yep.
Because this episode needs more. So, again, young, trying to get some sleep.
Yeah.
He does not. Volker is there at the door with a problem. It takes a bit to get to the point, but there's one last section of pods that were damaged. Dun, dun, dun. We won't have enough pods for everyone.
Yay.
So now that everyone's on the bridge, we are 8 pods short. The ship is old. Shit is broken.
Yeah.
And they can't fix them with what's on board. They need palladium hydride. Yeah. They need a MacGuffin.
We need more to do with this. Somehow, okay, here's what the irritation of this episode is for me.
Yeah.
This is the restaurant that serves too many dishes and they're all made poorly.
You mean Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah. And it's like, give me, I don't always want a charcuterie board.
No.
I want a good meal. Your inability to give me one solid story feels like you gave up.
We didn't need the entire first battle with the command ship.
Right. It was all of this just like, we'll do this too. And this too. And it's like, you're trying to just pack it full
this
of random
could have
shit.
Been the command ship battle and then yeah. you defeat it and you get to go to the planet to get this hydroxide so yeah. like that could have been the whole thing.
It just doesn't come together, and I think that's where my irritation is, because even if this had been a season finale,
yeah,
it just feels so shoddily put together.
Yeah,
like the through line is so thin.
Yeah,
anyway.
So they needed to fix the high temperature yep. superconductors in the pod systems. And normally you can easily get them on these very specific planets. But again, they're all tracked by drones, specifically when the one planet that's in range that they could get to and has toxic atmosphere and drones. So double fun.
Yeah.
They can get around the gate lockout to get to the planet. But can we survive another fight to get this MacGuffin? And even if they did survive the fight, they would use so much power to survive the fight
yeah.
that they wouldn't be able to do the jump.
Yay.
So Young is hearing their only option is to leave 8 people out to be what? Good luck as long as the supplies
yeah,
last?
To throw yourselves off of the fucking...
And they're like, actually, no, we would need that power that they would use for that month.
Yeah, we need them to launch themselves off the observation deck.
Yeah, basically.
Because if I'm going to die on a ship like this,
yeah.
that's how I'm going to do it. Uh-huh. It's going to be fucking epic. I'm going to wrap myself in a fucking flag.
Yeah.
Be like, America. some sort of
just
epic bullshit.
Open the door into the FTL.
Yeah, throw me at a drone.
Yeah.
Shoot me like a missile.
Fuck
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Rush tries to strong arm this, that if you want Eli's plan to work, you come up have to come up with the name of 8 people who are going to sacrifice themselves.
It's like, okay, calm down. Calm down.
And then that leads to Park and Greer together in one of the rooms. Mm-hmm. He's catching her up on everything because apparently her mind doesn't work because her eyes don't work.
Yeah, you go sit down and do nothing because you're useless to us without eyeballs.
That's...
Yeah, that pissed me off too.
One of the things in this episode. That actually, I think that is one of the things that pisses me off the most in the episode.
Yeah.
But she also knows Greer and is like, don't you even fucking dare volunteering to be one of those 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you. He's like, I would, but I wouldn't ask 7 others to
I
do that also.
I already tried, and
Young
they won't let me.
Young won't let me.
Yeah.
And hey, remember that Park's brain still works, so she has an idea.
Yeah, because she's a fucking brain. Yeah.
Eli's plotting some stuff with Young and Science Bros when Park and Greer arrive. Park is like, hey, you know how we got that second shuttle back? It's really nice to have, but kind of it's redundant.
Yeah.
Let's use that as a decoy. Mm-hmm. Drop that shit off, unmanned, jump a distance away, and have the shuttle fake a gate signal out.
Yep.
And Brody knows that that would, you know, fuck up a few systems, but he's like, we're not getting that shuttle back,
it's
are
fine.
We?
It's fine. Distract. Do whatever you... Kamikaze shuttle.
But while the command ship and the drones are busy with the shuttle, they just kind of sneak off and get that MacGuffin mineral.
Yeah.
And they can also try juicing up the shields, remote pilot it, and then just holdo maneuver it straight into that command
ship.
There
you go. Done.
Blow the engines. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. They would only have one shuttle left, but... they had one shuttle for most of the series, so.
Yeah. And they were fine, and now we're dying, and it's the end of the series, guys, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, best plan that Young has, and we'd get to save those 8 people, so let's
there
do this.
Go. Yeah.
So they launched this crazy-ass little plan. Mm-hmm. We barely...
I like that there's people already in stasis who have no idea that all this shit's gonna happen.
Nope. We barely have any time to spend on this because we've crammed too much into this episode. Mm-hmm. So we just covered exactly what's going to happen.
Yep, the end.
Shuttle launch. They connect us. They can interact with it. They jump away.
Yeah.
They can get to the planet that there's EV teams and EV suits ready to go.
To the point where the guy's like, but what if we don't have enough? It's like, This is too much for this scene.
They're literally
it doesn't
just
matter.
Grab
it doesn't
what you
matter.
Can. We'll filter it later. Just load it.
What
up.
If it's like, I'm sorry, bro. Nobody told you what episode you were acting
nope.
in. We
no.
don't need that much.
We don't have enough time for what if.
Give like 50% of what you're giving right now. Yeah.
There's a whole bit where we watch the command ship. They go to where they need to be. The trap is triggered. It leaves the planet. It's working.
Do you want to hear exactly how my notes?
Yes.
Dial the gate. Engage the drones. Do the things. The things that they work. That's it. That's what happens.
But here's the thing that you're missing in here.
Oh, okay.
And this is the part that I actually also missed until the person who wrote this transcript, I forget her name. I think it was Callie. Whoever wrote all the transcripts on Gate World, for you've made my life easier over the past couple of years. Pointed this out. And I missed it. This is the last Stargate dial in Kalush.
It is. Well, that's why the dial of the gate is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the last Stargate Kalush that we get.
This is
in a fucking throwaway mission that we could care less about.
Maybe that was why we had it, because we haven't dialed the gate yet.
That might be. We had to dial the gate this episode. But again, just fuck off with that earlier command ship battle.
Just poorly put together.
And just do this one, because also you would not have power issues as much.
If
and
you
maybe
just going,
it could be 2 years. Mm-hmm. Not that 2 years versus 3 years would change anything in this plan, but whatever. Anyway.
But it feels better.
Yeah. So, our last team is heading off world. We don't get to see anything on the bridge. They're just watching
the
command ship dot.
For not forcing us to watch these people go to a new planet. It's like, no, we get it.
We get it.
Yeah.
We've been here.
Yeah.
We've been through like a lot of seasons of this.
Yeah.
They're just watching like the blinking light version of this battle that we technically see. They're just waiting to hear about the planet mission. Drama. Rush is steering the shuttle. They eventually take out the command ship, and we know because the dot disappears on the map.
Yep. Yay.
I mean, they have a few minutes. They shouldn't dilly-dally.
Yep. It's fine. They're done.
We don't get to see anything about gathering rocks, but our team is back. They have the MacGuffin. They're ready to go. Destiny jumps away.
But what about MacGuffin? MacGuffin, done. Okay, we're back now.
I don't know how McDonald's hasn't made a MacGuffin sandwich.
Oh, that sounds really good. What's in the MacGuffin? Is it a breakfast sandwich?
I was actually thinking it might be a breakfast sandwich.
It's like the McMuffin, but what makes it guffin versus muffin?
Mm.
What's in the dough? It's like the McGriddle McMuffin.
It's croissant.
Ooh, that I would eat.
It's the MacGuffin is literally like the sausage McMuffin, but it's a croissant. It's still a round
McDonald's
one.
McDonald's call us.
It's still a round one.
Yeah, like there's no hole in your croissant.
Yeah. It's the
Burger King breakfast croissant.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Fuck, but now I want a breakfast. Guys, it is 2:30 in the afternoon and I am drunk on whatever bartender Nick made us, and there's nothing in the world right now that would make me happier than a breakfast sandwich.
Doesn't McDonald's serve that all day though?
No, they don't.
This is how much I don't go to McDonald's.
I go to McDonald's often enough that I know that.
Character moment. Mm-hmm. It's Scott's turn to Freaky Friday. Huh?
Okay.
I Let's know fucking you have talk. So much to say about this.
Let's talk. I get real sensitive about any type of single mom shit anywhere in life.
No, the judgment Scott has here is fucking insane.
And irrational.
Yes.
He is single mom shaming a woman who has a kid in an actual house.
Yes.
She is single momming in a house.
Yes.
And is taking the kid to school.
He thinks that she's a good person, but may not be a good parent.
Eat my ass.
And that
dude.
Homeworld Command would, if he says a single word to Homeworld Command, that they would step in and take the kid away and make sure the kid is raised in the proper home.
Excuse me. Gone, Baby Gone.
Yeah.
Spoilers if you haven't seen that film. That's not how this shit works.
Are you completely judging this based on the first time you were there where you didn't even know the kid was yours? The kid was home for what, all of however long alone, which
and,
is not the
also,
greatest thing
you,
in the world.
Are you basing this on her financial status?
Yeah.
So that's what makes you a good mom?
Yeah, go fuck off.
Yeah. I'm done.
Just fuck all the way
never
off.
Never let me drink on the pot again.
Well, listen, it's inexcusable whether you're drunk or not.
Oh, absolutely. I think I just sound a lot more vocal right now.
Like, I don't even think when...
I don't think I've ever uttered the phrase also, with my ass on our podcast before.
I'm actually pretty sure you have.
Okay, good.
Pretty sure you have. Also, Scott, as someone who didn't you... Weren't you... raised in the foster system? Did I remember that wrong?
No, it's like the, yes, because the priest was his yes. father figure.
Yeah. Don't you know how much that shit, that's shitty?
Yeah. You really want them to take away from his actual mom?
Fuck who's off Scott.
Yeah. Well, wasn't his mom like an active addiction?
I don't remember that part.
It's like you're seeing
his mom wasn't in the picture. That. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about don't act like you're the greatest thing in the world and yeah. suddenly you know everything.
Like, listen, the mom was making choices she had to make in order to raise a kid on her own when you first met her or came back to her and found out you had a kid.
Yeah. This is the part where I'm like, okay, bro, don't act like you've never been here.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. Nah. Ray didn't get to see her wife because she was at a conference, but they got to FaceTime. There is that little heartbreaking moment where she's like billions of light years to go back home and it was still just 1,000 miles that separate them.
Yeah, that's a shitty, shitty feeling. Yeah. That's a little bit of like a... Oh, I think she's moved on with her life in a way I want her to.
Yeah, but she was at a conference.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, in a way that I wanted her to, but also fuck that sucks.
Yeah, because she told Sharon that she was sorry and it wasn't fair for her and that she should move on. And then Sharon just cried.
Yeah, and she's like, my kind of am.
Yeah.
Is the way I took it.
Yeah, that's one of those where I feel like that's one of those where it's like, I'm not going to actively move on. But if something happens, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, you know what it is? She didn't fight her on it.
Yeah. Like, she's if like, I was Sharon, I don't see myself actively dating or jumping on, like, dumping into the dating pool again.
But I think Sharon sees that, like,
Ray's not coming home.
Yeah, I'm not keeping myself in false hope anymore.
Yes, Ray's not coming home.
Yeah. And I appreciate that Eli, like we were talking earlier, just was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to fix it for her.
No.
He's just like, that fucking sucks, man.
Yep.
Really blows.
I think there's that extra part where everyone in their own ways in that same situation are like, it sucks. Yeah. I just had that conversation with my mom.
Like, he didn't try to tell her, well, good for sure. Like, no. He just went, that sucks, bro. Sucks to suck, suck.
I mean, look at your options on this ship. Okay, so more people had to sleep.
Just fuck everybody.
James gives Eli like a little hug. Barnes is going in too.
Yeah.
Chloe shares the news with her mom. At least some people on Earth have that inner crew that they get to talk to each other. Park might have someone she goes home to see, but mostly she's just seeing with someone else's just functioning eyeballs. Can I say, losing my vision is one of my biggest fears.
Yeah, I was trying really hard not to think about that one.
And
that's a difficult one to think about.
And it's not, you know, it's not that people who can't see, obviously they have like these very full lives, but I think the fear is the adaptation to living without one of your senses.
In fairness to ourselves, we have developed careers that rely heavily on this ability. It's like a firefighter who hurts his back and can't anymore. I've known a lot of people who've had like their spines fused to avoid things happening because that fear is real. There's a lot riding on this. Not that everyone doesn't have something riding on their vision, but we've written a lot of our identity on it.
Yes. And so again, it's part of that where it's less the fear, because I've thought about this before. It's less the fear of losing my vision and more of the adaptation and the change.
Yeah.
The change in my entire life because I wasn't born without vision.
And because I think we gravitated to the careers that we gravitated to because we are so inherently visual.
Because we are such visual people, yeah.
So you're like, how do I do this if I can't anymore?
I am someone who has this like admiration for people who go through life without that reliance because I can't comprehend.
Yeah. There's a freedom that they have that we may not ever understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll do this when we're playing D&D, which is theater of the mind. There are times where I have to say, I'm going to need you to repeat all of that again because none of it processed.
Yeah.
Because it's all auditory.
Yeah.
And that is just not one of my strong suits.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, so I took physics classes.
Yeah.
I took specifically astronomy classes in college. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I noticed the difference between me, who was a art student,
uh-huh.
a visual student, taking physics courses and math courses, mm-hmm. that other... when they're talking about the celestial sphere and they're talking about all of these abstract things like in geometry, everything was visual in my head. I had absolutely no problem orienting myself, seeing how everything worked and seeing all the mechanics in my head. And there were other people who are more physics students.
Yeah.
Who couldn't grasp seeing that.
That feels the opposite because if you tell it to me, I can't see it.
Yeah.
But if I see it.
Yeah.
Then I understand it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you give me an aerial view of a city, I can make my way around it.
Uh-huh.
If I can see an aerial view. But if you're like, hey, go down Main Street and turn right and then turn left, I'm like, that didn't fucking do shit for
me. Yeah, and I think it's because my brain will just start making it in my head.
You may be better suited than you know.
Yeah.
To honestly be there.
Yeah, who knows?
You can create the visual. Yeah.
Well, I guess the part of my question is, not my question, but part of the part that I've never grokked is if someone either lost their vision early in their life or was born without, you know, that visual context.
Yeah.
It's like, what do, because people see different things when you say apple.
Yeah.
People see different things or visualize different things in their head.
Yeah. Well, I think you get to create your definition.
Yeah. And that's the part that I've always found interesting.
Because you can feel an apple, you can smell it.
And
So their definition is based on these other senses. So they're going to come pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Just based on all of that without having the visual.
I think it's why I found things like synesthesia so interesting.
Yeah.
Is those connections and like how people relate to the whole concept of how do we know that what I consider blue is the same as what everyone else considers. Like, we don't technically know that everyone sees the sky the same color.
We don't, but what we can do is we can see how it makes us all feel.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's, I think, what we're all relating
to. We're seeing the same range of the EM spectrum.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily know that our brains interpret that specific range of the EM spectrum to be the same hues.
So what I find interesting is like how much of that is important.
Yeah.
Does it matter? Or does it matter that we feel the same way about it?
And my interest is more the question that we don't actually know.
Yeah.
Is we see that we all know what blue is to us. We all know what blue cloudless sky is for us.
Yeah.
But there's no way for us to know that if my shade that I see there, my brain sees the exact same shade as you see.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I find fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
So anyway, while we're pondering the essence of, color, our inner crew.
Right, there's an episode.
Some of our inner crew is heading to sleep, like the science bros, Park.
Yeah.
All going to sleep. And we're left with our final eight.
Yeah, the last supper.
The last eight chambers. And I'm like, really? Chloe's here?
Yeah, well.
She's a main cast member, I get it. But like, over Brody and Volker?
I think that they couldn't split up Brody and Volker.
I know.
So they were like, fine, we'll hang on to Chloe.
I know. Is it just because she's Scott's partner?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Park is Gru's partner?
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, anything perishable is eaten now or never. And for once in the past year, they're stuffed.
Yep.
I mean, Greer's going to grab more because Greer...
Greer has a hollow leg.
Yes, like yeah. Nick. And Young raises a toast to them. Mm-hmm. He's a man of few words, but they've been through a hell of a lot in the past year, and he could easily dwell on everything they've lost, but instead he wants to think about what they still have and what they may have gained. That they are a family now, like it or not. Sons, daughters, sisters, even the crazy uncle, who despite everything still manages to come through for you in the end.
There you go, yeah.
They are the smartest, the bravest, the most compassionate people Young has ever had the honor to serve with. Mm-hmm. To family. And to our family.
Yay.
And on to sleep with the last
anyway,
crew.
Get up in your fucking stasis chamber now.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Scott and Chloe make out one last time. Uh-huh. Maybe not the last time. Who knows? Greer heads to his pod, has a moment with Young. Ray points out to that Young is finally going to get his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ as well. And eventually there are only three people left. Young, Eli, and Rush.
Yep.
But of course it can't be that simple.
No. The constant going back to Earth thing, this next part is annoying.
Young goes back to Earth for reasons that baffle my existence. Unless you were going back to give us a cameo of Jack, get the fuck out of here.
Why do we need to rehash this? We've been here.
That's what I'm saying. Unless you're going to give me a cameo of Jack for pure Jack cameo purposes, we don't need to be here. Yeah. He updates Telford. Eli and Rush will be done by the end of the day. You won't hear from Destiny for a couple years. And in a smart move, for once, Young is not going to go see Emily.
Yeah.
Because why reopen old wounds?
Because we've already been here.
And we addressed the whole triangle that existed at the start of the series. But he has been able to come around and say that he has no one to blame but himself.
Yeah.
And Telford reassures him that they will not give up on him or Destiny. And they give good looks and they part ways. And as Young comes back to the control room, the other two are arguing. Mm-hmm. That they somehow missed something because they had no way of knowing, although they did run full diagnostics.
They just had to find a way to get Rush and Eli alone without Young.
Basically. And finally, they explain that those 8 pods they repaired, one of them is more damaged than they originally thought, and it's just not functioning. They are going to be 1 pod short. So they're still working. Rush and Eli are going back and forth trying to get it to light up, but nothing so far is cutting the grade. So Rush sends Eli back to the control room to read through the instruction manual, which is over 1,700 pages. And Eli's like, sure, because I haven't already read through it a couple times and TLDR'd it.
Yeah.
And, control F found things I needed to, but
everything. Yeah. There's not. Yeah.
He's getting dismissed from the room, clearly.
Yeah. Go play over there.
And as soon as he's gone, Rush is like, we need to talk in a serious voice. And we find out later what they discuss. After that conversation off camera, Young finds Eli in the control room. And he's like, before you ask, I haven't found the answer yet. Please leave me alone. Please let me spend time to find this answer. Okay. Clearly, that's not why Young is here. Rush says that if 2 of them go into the pods now, the one that stays out could keep minimal life support going for 2 weeks before it fucks with the power they need to jump. And Rush has volunteered to be the one to go.
Yeah.
Which shocks Eli as much as it does us.
Yeah.
And obviously Young doesn't trust him to do any of that at all. And Young's like, well, it's going to be me that stays out of the pod. And he's like, oh, are you going to fix the pod? And Young is like, no. No, I'm not going to fix the pod, clearly, dumbass.
I'm just here to kill myself.
He's not even going to attempt to fix the pod, but Young doesn't trust Rush as far as he can throw him to do what needs to be done if he can't fix the pod in time. Because what happens if he doesn't fix it and he loses his nerve and keeps even life support going for a few extra days? And the answer is they drop out of FTL early and it would be thousands of years in stasis.
Mm-hmm.
So Young sees this as their only choice. Young stays out. And Eli takes a moment and he goes, it's not your only choice.
Nope.
I'll do it.
Yay.
And Young's like, well, I can't ask you to do that. And he's like, well, I can't take no for an answer.
I didn't wait for you to ask me. I volunteered.
Because this is the end of my story arc.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is where my story arc's going. This is my
hero's journey.
Yes, yeah. This is my hero journey, and I'm here now.
Yeah.
So Rush finds Eli in his room listening to his iPod, and it did not take long for Rush to hear the news. And I love the delivery. He's like, ooh, right. Awkward. And Rush isn't surprised. He knew Young wasn't going to let Rush stay out and try to fix the pods because we've seen the two seasons of history between the two of them.
There's no, we'll never know if Rush did this on purpose. We'll never know.
Well, okay, so he goes, and so Eli goes, well, why even volunteer in the first place? And Rush is like, well, what difference does it make? No. And we're like, no, you volunteered on purpose because you specifically wanted Young to volunteer to stay out.
Yep.
So it'd be you and Eli in the pods. Mm-hmm. We're not stupid, Rush. We know how you work.
Yep.
We know how you work.
We've been here before.
What he didn't anticipate, the one thing he didn't anticipate, is that Eli would volunteer.
Yeah, that Eli would step up. That Eli has grown, that Eli has changed.
And he emphasizes he doesn't want anyone to die. Like, this wasn't even his idea.
Right.
But Rush wasn't able to come up with another one in the allotted time, which just goes to prove Rush's point that we're going to need Eli on the other side of all this.
Yeah.
And Eli's a little taken back at that moment of honesty, but he's like, well, I'm going to be on the other side. I'm going to fix the pod in time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Rush hasn't said this enough, but he goes, Eli, you do have tremendous potential, which, okay, I'm going to pause you right here. Rush, as someone who was the kid who heard about
potential.
Their tremendous potential their entire life.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the, like, compliment that you think it is.
Yeah.
But I will say, you can see how difficult that was for Rush to say.
Yeah, I think that was as close as Rush could get to a compliment.
It was. Mm-hmm. And he's still on team, let Young sacrifice himself instead of the risk of losing Eli.
Yeah.
And he says that Eli has come a long way from the video game slacker Rush discovered a year ago. And I'm like, you discovered?
Mm-hmm.
You discovered. Okay. And Eli's like, well, thanks. You've been pretty consistent over the past 2 years.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not.
And that's the nicest thing you can say.
Yeah, you've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for sleep. We catch Young watching TJ for a second. Rush's first, just Colonel, and then a very formal Mr. Wallace.
Yeah, again, respect.
Respect. And Rush is then sleeping. And Young confirms that Eli is sure about this. This is your last chance. And Eli has never been more sure of anything in his entire life.
Yep.
He was born for this.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli offers a hand for handshake, but Young just pulls him into a big bear hug. It's a very sweet moment. And tells him that he is a good man. He needs to get this done. And they'll see him on the other side.
And then Young's bent neck bugs the fuck out of me.
I know. I was like, your neck is going to hurt so bad when you wake up.
This is not good for you. Yeah.
And then Eli is alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch a montage of the lights beginning to turn off around the ship in reverse order of how we originally saw them turn on as we arrived on Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And we find Eli settled at the observation deck looking at the FTL lights. Pondering everything that's happened to bring them here, to bring him to this moment. He has 2 weeks, and we end with a smirk on his face with hope because it is Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we love him. And we end with a shot of the ship flying away. And hopefully we'll hear from everyone again in 3 years, except we won't because this is the end of Stargate.
We couldn't at least even had him talking to Aquino.
Nope.
As we know him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just end transmission on this dumb shot of his face.
Oh, he's going to be talking to Aquino for 2 weeks straight. Are you kidding me?
Why didn't we end on that? Why didn't the last shot be him through the Aquino saying, some other goofy, gooey, like, well, I got two weeks. I'll find the answer. Yeah.
Yep.
Some bullshit.
So I'm starting with this.
Here I go.
Here I go. Again.
See you guys.
On my own.
Going down the only road I've ever known.
Yeah.
Look.
You know what? I could have even, you know what I really liked is just him turning to Aquino and go, well, it's just you and me now.
Yes. Anything.
That'd have been a perfect final line.
A nice little, like, castaway moment with Aquino. I don't love the way this ended, but I did go back, rewatch the first episode. First thing we see, beyond just the flying into the destiny, everybody's landing on top of each other thing, is an unsatisfied, cocky, but cocksure.
Yeah.
But also very unsure of himself, Eli playing a video game.
Yes.
Not knowing where the fuck he was going.
Yep.
So the bookends are great.
Yes.
A mildly hopeless Eli turning into this man that we've grown to see him become. If you called this Stargate Eli, I'd be like, great job.
Exactly. And I know. So I think there's been a lot of talk over what this episode would have been had this been a season finale.
Yeah.
And there were talks of originally it was going to be Rush that stayed out. Mm-hmm. And basically we would come back 3 years later and Rush found a way to keep some life support on. It's just been Rush fucking alone for three years going batshit.
That would have been nuts.
Some of it was also Eli still staying out and doing the same thing. Like they stayed alive via the life support in the shuttle.
Sure.
Or something like this. But it was basically, I know. Oh, one of the other ones was, I think it was between, it would have been between Rush and Young, and it would have been a coin flip. Yeah. And the season ended on the coin flip, not knowing which one stayed out. And when you came back, the other one would have been, like, stayed alive in the life support of the shuttle for three years.
I don't know about that one. But, yeah, it sucks. It sucks that they were a casualty of business, basically.
2011.
But it does, I do wish there were other ways to have ended this. I don't know. I kind of just want to write my own ending. Overall, I did love the series. I did.
I knew this would be a series that you enjoyed in a way that I did not.
Yeah, and I will tell you, when I went back and watched that first episode, I was like, this is good. That first episode is good. Figuring these people out, shoving them into... It felt like the way... I don't know that all D&D campaigns open like this, but it felt like the way that my husband opens D&D campaigns.
Yeah.
You are on a ship in a storm and it's about to go under. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
And you're tied to the fucking mast.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And that's what it felt like. And then this adventure happens and these people become friends. And the journey was the friends we made along the way, et cetera, et cetera. There was this really cool arc of Eli's. It just sucks that it ended how it did.
Yeah.
I see the reason to not want to make the legacy episode. I forget what it's called. The one, two episodes before.
Oh, epilogue.
Epilogue. To not make epilogue the end. Because it's not what it's about. That's not what this whole series is about. It is about these people and their specific growth. It is very much this character work.
Well,
but they just didn't have time to do it right.
The reason I think epilogue, and I think why a lot of people see epilogue as, if it's not technically the series finale, as being the season finale, is basically that line between Young and Chloe as Young is dying. And he's like, I was, you know, I failed on getting everyone home. Yeah. And Chloe's like, but you did get us home.
Yeah, and I get it. It would have been good. It just wasn't what we were aiming for in the series. So it's like, if we go back to this meal analogy, it would have been better to eat that burger than this shitty lasagna.
Yeah.
But we were trying to make lasagna.
We were trying to make lasagna. And I think because they had only begun to scratch the surface of what this series was actually about, which is what is Destiny's mission? What is this big question mark of the universe?
What does it mean when you put people like this into a pressure cooker and who do they become?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it was about the people.
Yeah.
Just as much as it was about the mission.
100%.
In fact, the mission might have been secondary to how these people grow. If you think about how Chloe grew.
Yeah.
How TJ changed. You know, TJ did not start out this confident, like, bad bitch that she was.
No.
Or Rush or Young. And it really was all of these character studies. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was these big character studies. And I think they were trying to get back to it and they just couldn't. And that's what sucked.
They just didn't have the time.
So they tried to end it on the Eli part of it. Uh-huh. And they're like, well, here's some.
Well,
it just didn't get there.
This is, you know, Eli, not a mystery, is like the viewer stand-in.
Yeah.
He's the us character in this. So.
Which is why his character growth is the most important to
Yeah.
us. Anyway,
so that's the end of Stargate.
What's next? What do we do, guys? We know what's next for the next couple months. There's a couple of top tens, a couple of things we're going to talk about.
We have a bunch of Stargate content still to come.
Yeah, and I'm going to pitch an idea live.
Yes,
that I haven't before. Here's what I love about this pod, and the reason that this pod became what it was. One. It was sort of, you guys got to watch our friendship grow.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this after we finished watching this last episode.
Yeah, it really was this development of a friendship. And I think it's clear to listeners that you and I have things in common, but a lot of things that we don't have in common.
Yes.
And I think there's something...
One could argue we have more things not in common than we have in common.
And I think that it's easy in the world we exist in now to forget how valuable it is to have people in your life who don't think just like you.
Yes.
And I think this first watch, rewatch sentiment kind of comes of that. Like, hey, I've been here the whole time and you've never been here. What's your perspective on this thing that I've been here for?
Yeah.
So I'd love to keep that mentality.
Yes.
And I like to keep that theme for us. Like, what are these things that we don't quite understand the same way?
Yeah.
And how can we learn to hear each other?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I would like to think that in this world as fucked up as the one that we're existing in right now, where people are dying as they try to get food.
Yes.
That we can bring a sense of like, hey, let's try to hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that is the hardest part and that is where you're the most vulnerable.
Yes.
And it doesn't change who you are to hear other people be themselves.
It doesn't.
And to try to understand it.
In fact, it may make you better, stronger,
faster.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
But we'll see what comes next. But that's the theme that I'm hoping to stick for. So if you guys have ideas, we would love to hear
them. I will say we have a number of Stargate-specific episodes going to do. We have, like, legitimately a couple months of Stargate-specific stuff lined up. I think we've agreed we're not going to go through a full series again.
No, I think so, too. I think we're going to keep things thematically maybe in the first watch rewatch idea and maybe bring things to each other. We're just going to keep the idea of let me show you my perspective on something and what do you think of it,
and it may not always be Stargate specific related and stuff like that, but
there is no other place like home.
There is no place like Terra. There's no place like home. The podcast will continue to grow. All of our back episodes will still be up for as long as we go.
And we will never have ads because we do not want that kind of responsibility.
No, we don't.
We honestly do not. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
our unwillingness to give up our day jobs is really what is keeping
me. Basically, yes.
Because, y'all, I'm consistently working 50-hour weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. But we love you guys and thank you for sticking around. I'm going to do my best not to cry. So we're
we're going to have other episodes where we're going to get emotional over the end of this thing. This is the end of Universe.
That's it. That's all it is.
That's all it is. We will get gushy and shit about shit later when we haven't been drinking.
What we can tell you is to get your abacuses ready because in 2 weeks we'll be here with some top tens.
Yes.
We'll be doing a little bit of mathing.
Yep. I will say the next episode we're going to do, as we've done as we finish each of the other two series, we're going to have our top 10 episodes of Stargate Universe, and we'll see how those are the same and how they're different and
how
we will work
up. Bring your opinions to the table, and we'll go from there. We love you guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
You can email us at theresnoplaceliketerra@gmail.com.
And there's no place like Terra
at Patreon?
Patreon.com.
We love you guys. Okay. Bye.